You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Imagine Dragons. Loom. World Tour. Live in Salt Lake City, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater, Friday, October 11th. The brand new album, Loom, is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
And now, it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Man, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Man, what? He does it every day. David James just stirs up emotion of negativity and then whirls out the door. I'm in a perfectly good mood, and all of a sudden we talk to DJ for 2 minutes, and I'm outraged. And then Sarah goes, "You're up."
I like that somehow you don't have road rage, but you are always teetering on the edge of insanity. your fury is boiling. Just below the level.
You know why? Because the road's me time.
So you chill.
I get a chill. I have to be on a razor's edge to do this show every day.
Do you? Because I make it so hard.
I feel
hard.
Like I have to be like
Sarah makes it
borderline
so hard.
Melting down as soon as the light goes on.
You don't, but DJ gets you there.
Well, yeah, because he wants to talk to you about something that he's complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just inspires, like, I used to work with a guy who would always start one place. Like, he'd start out talking about, I don't know, computer screens or something. And that would spin into something that would that aggravated him in his life. And then that would spin into something else and spin into something else. And there were like three major events in his life that every complaint like dialed back to.
Because
you know
what
I mean?
I would generally classify David James as a happy person.
Oh, very happy person. Well, here's the thing about David James. Very happy person. Serious professional.
Okay.
Serious about his job. And so when there's something that about his job that he feels strongly about it. He's not like a...
By the way, let me clarify. Nothing in this building, nobody he's working with, nothing like that at all.
This is like not all that important in general.
No.
But it is about his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like... I'm not... David's not trashing the boss behind his back, Ben. We're not... Come on. We're not even applying that. It's just... It's basically a complaint about bureaucracy, if anything. And... Yeah, he's right to be aggravated, but
sure.
Then he spreads the aggravation. And then I'm aggravated. Somehow you're shaking it off. I don't know what your issue is.
You what do I have to complain about?
Have no emotion about anything.
Things are good.
Just a rock over there.
That's what I'm going for.
It's like talking to a boulder every day.
That's what I'm selling. That's what I bring. That's what I bring, right? I don't go, my highs are not that high, my lows are not that low. That's what I bring, consistency. It's not great takes.
Man,
it's not good information.
See, I consider myself a happy, positive person, but I complain all the time.
Yes, you do.
I complain about the complainers. That was like half the show yesterday. Why are people just want to complain? Complain all the time. That's fine. I'm one of them. Do you have a group of friends or people in your life that are truly negative people?
No, I've eliminated those people. I've gotten rid of those people.
Those are gone?
Yeah. No, we're all happy.
We have a group of friends that's just, yeah, absolutely, like, love the negative energy.
It's an energy suck, my man. And I'm not saying, I get it. got to have it. But
oh no, sometimes it's good. Sometimes you got to lean into being negative. It's
sure,
fine.
Sure.
There's a yin and a yang for everything. I would have a tough time being negative all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to saddle up for a complaint fest, I'm in. But I just can't. I just can't do that all the time. Or
and there's
yeah,
a lot of people
I
do
get
that.
You.
I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, that's what the internet has created, right? A gateway to just complain all the time.
Well, yeah, the outlets change, right?
And it's just all it is. It's just. So, I do have it, actually. What am I talking about? It's called Twitter.com. Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, and
I
some
have
people...
Twitter.com. It's a nonstop hellhole of people complaining about things that don't matter.
I'll give you an example. Have you ever pulled up a tweet that's controversial and you just want to read the hate ratio? I mean, I think that's fairly common. I know I'm speaking about something that was popular in, like, 2013, but, like...
Yes.
I remember... I'm going to be somewhat scant with the detail on this, but there was somebody who stuck up for Jeffrey Toobin right after his incident on the Zoom meeting.
We all remember.
I could have read.
Don't Google it.
I could have read that ratio.
Yes.
All day.
Hilarious.
That this guy tried to create an argument to stick up, and the people just roasted him. And it may have been the funniest thing I've ever seen, and it was all negative.
Doesn't have to be two sides of every conversation. You don't need to step up and defend that.
No.
Don't need to hear both sides.
No, the workplace violation alone. I'll tell you how he chose to defend it, too, which was pretty hilarious. But anyway, I'm not blind. We can't live in Disneyland all the time. But yeah, you can't drown in the... You know, the people that are too connected to social media probably have too much negativity in their life. I won't specifically just blame your guy Elon either. I mean, it's
right,
a
he
lot
existed
of...
existed before he bought the
it's
program,
a lot
yeah.
of social media.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah, it's everywhere.
And even positive things inspire negative thoughts. For example... I had to basically delete my app of X or whatever mm-hmm. we're calling it, because if I saw another thing about the stupid eclipse, I was
mad at the eclipse.
I was getting
see? It, you're always like, you're a single degree away from boiling at all times. You run at 211 degrees Fahrenheit.
I just don't. Does everything have to be about the eclipse? Can you mix in like a national title take or something like that? And I'd, you know, beholden to the algorithm, I suppose, but it was all eclipse.
Did you look at it?
No.
You didn't look at the eclipse?
No.
You didn't stack your sunglasses?
No.
Oh, I did. Well, I had fun. It was good. I'm glad I saw it. It was not life-changing, but I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, it was a thing. It's a thing.
Sarah, did you watch the eclipse?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't care if Sarah watched the eclipse. I'd rather know about Sarah's day yesterday.
I peeked at it, but there was a massive cloud over it
yeah.
where I was at. So for the high point of it or whatever.
The best, we didn't get to see it.
I didn't get to see it because there was a massive cloud in front of it. So, yeah.
I come from a family of eclipsers. So.
My own wife was telling me how she had eclipse jealousy of coworkers. I was like, God, why?
Eclipse FOMO.
It's the dumbest FOMO I think ever, and everybody had it. Like, and everybody like feel like I this obligation to go look at the eclipse because somehow if you don't, you're the only person on the planet who did not.
I know you're not a science major, nor am I, which is why I'm asking this question. Aren't we technically always in an eclipse of some kind? Like, doesn't the reason
somewhere on the planet?
Well, don't we always get, other than one day a month, a portion of the moon because it's the shadow of the Earth on the moon?
Something like that.
Right? I mean, that's why the shape of the moon changes,
yeah,
right?
Every month, right.
You get the little fingernail-looking thing, the crescent moon.
But a lunar eclipse is something different.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it's just on the other side. But right now, when you see the shadow on the moon and you only see the edge of it, it's we are creating an eclipse because the sun is being blocked by the Earth onto the moon. Like, there is an eclipse going on all but one day a month
but
all
the
time. And I get it's different.
The meaning of the word eclipse
is to eclipse the sun.
Yeah, it's like somebody is shouting at their radio right now about how foolish
we sound.
Like that's something what you're describing there has a different name.
I'm sure. Unless you were on the moon In which you'd be like, yeah, we're getting an eclipse. The earth is blocking the sun.
But I don't care. Again, you know why I don't know? Don't care.
Don't care.
But yet I couldn't flip on, you know, I was like, hey, maybe I'll sit down and watch the nightly news. A hard pass. 25 out of the 30 minutes would have been about the eclipse. I got it. It happened. People traveled all over to the, like, parts of the path. They were charging like $3,000 a hotel room or something. It's like leafers. Like, hey, okay, you're into it. I got it.
A lunar eclipse is caused by Earth blocking sunlight from reaching the moon and creating a shadow across the lunar surface. So we're in lunar eclipses all the time? Am I wrong on that? Am I reading that wrong? Anyways, all right. Apologize.
We have to do top three stories.
We got to move on.
Because Dan Bickley is going to join the show coming up at 10:30. We're going to talk about the latest and greatest about the Phoenix Coyotes and where they may be playing hockey in the future. Dan does radio down there in Phoenix, so we'll talk to him at 10:30. And then Bob Casper. Yes, that Bob Casper of Real Golf Radio will join us live from the Masters at 10:50. Is that the one golf course that you, on the planet, you would play above all others?
I've never played Salt Lake Country Club. I play a million different courses.
I know. I've never played Salt Lake Country Club either.
No, I need
either,
a flat course with no trees. That's what you think I'm going to have fun playing that? I would hate that. I would hate that.
But just to tell people you did it. And listen, the Masters.
I don't want to. What do I care if I tell people what I do?
The Masters would not be it for me.
I just want to play a flat, wide open surface that I can, put me in a warehouse. Just put the hole out there.
I've never.
And it doesn't matter where I hit, it's always a straight line.
Can you participate in the fantasy aspect of the question for just a second? Neither one of us is ever going to play that course.
I don't know
neither,
if that's
like,
true.
Neither one of
I
us
don't
is
know if
ever
that's true.
Going to have the opportunity.
I don't know if that's
that
true.
That of all courses, that and maybe the L.A. Country Club are the two I could assure you that neither one of us are going to play. Unless all of a sudden you become uberly politically connected. I know you and the mayor are.
That's what I'm betting on.
I know you and the mayor are close.
That's what I'm betting my whole life on.
It's a long shot, but I guess we all have a dream. All right, top three stories, KSLSports.com. We're moving it up today because of our busy guest schedule. Sarah, where do you want to start?
Number one, UConn, our national champs.
Kind of what exactly as we had discussed yesterday, that UConn's just so athletic and big that they blew Purdue out of the water, especially in the second half. The game was 6 points at the half, but second half was a disaster. Not much of a basketball game. I don't agree with Draymond Green's take that Zach Edey quit. He had 37 points, for goodness sake. But, that UConn team was a monster. And was a monster all year and went into the tournament as a monster.
I don't think Edey quit. I just think he kind of stinks.
Which part? The 37 points part against the guy who's going to be the top five draft pick? Or
That he has no left hand at all. That was okay. So apparent. That and by the way, shout out to UConn for basically being the first team to guard him that way.
He'll turn over his right shoulder sometimes because he's used it. But yeah, you're 7'4". You don't have to alter your shots very often.
He's got nothing going that way, and he is so bad defending the pick and roll. How many dunks did UConn get? It was a dunk fest.
Some of that
over
they don't
and over.
They don't play a dedicated drop, like a hard enough drop. And some of that might be because he can't do it. Some of it might be because the rest of his team looks like me. That Purdue team, did you see the thing going around, which was who's the worst NBA player that could carry a team to the national championship in college basketball? Did you see that discussion going on?
No.
It's Zach Edey, right? Like, he just did it. That team without Zach Edey is a 16 seed at best. That is such a bad basketball team. It's unbelievable how bad the talent is. He had one other guy on his team score more than 5 points. One other guy. The rest of the team was 9 of 29 from the floor. They took 7 3-point attempts. It's amazing Purdue got that far because that team is awful and UConn's very good. But, yeah, that was a disaster.
Well, they should never have gotten that far.
That's why I didn't pick them to get to the title game.
I'm not going to stick up for the rest of the team, frankly. I don't care. But I thought that Edey was severely limited the way UConn guarded him. And, hey, I think college basketball coaches are actually becoming more important in one way.
Okay.
And that way is coaching. I don't think you had to be a coach before. But one of the interesting byproducts of this NIL is that you can continue to recruit good players throughout the and get experienced players and players that can really fit what you're doing. And it's strangely really balanced things out in a weird way. Where now teams, like, you're going to have to coach. You're going to have to figure out a way to take Zach Edey out of the game. And you know what? You make, I don't know if UConn took him out of the game.
They didn't.
But he didn't come close to beating him either.
No, he didn't.
And he's beat other teams by himself.
Yeah. UConn's great. And UConn has at least four NBA players, maybe five if Tristan Newton's an NBA player. But they're really good. There's an argument Purdue doesn't have any. I think Zach Edey's going to make it. There's an absolute world where what you were talking about, his inability to defend the pick and roll, if that's not just partly because of his teammates and his coaching, that if he can't do that, he won't stick in the NBA at all.
He's not that much bigger than Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's not bigger than everybody else on the floor in the NBA. He's the same height as Rudy.
And he's taller. No, he's bigger than Rudy. He's taller than Rudy is. Rudy's like 7'2".
Yeah,
and he's 300 pounds.
But that's the difference, right? And I don't know what Rudy's at now, but it's a lot more than he was when he got in the league.
Yeah, probably 260, something like that. Rudy's big. He's not that big. I mean, he made Donovan Klingon look small. Donovan Klingon's huge.
But that's the thing. We don't think of Rudy as a really stout player. I mean, there's people his size are pretty close to it at the NBA level. I don't know who his comp would be. I love his right-handed hook shot, but he's got...
And nobody else in the NBA does that.
He's got no left.
Nobody in the NBA does that, so it may not be a thing.
How many balls did they just Sean Bradley to him in the paint where he got a dunk? That's not...
Right.
He's not going to have that option in the NBA.
No, I want to see from Zach Edey at the next level what we saw for the first 10 minutes of the game when Purdue had that early lead, which was he was playing with so much energy. He actually wore out. It was the first time I've ever seen him wear out last night. But I think that's because he was guarding a big body in Donovan Klingon and then being put in so many pick and rolls that he got tired. If you can play him on the floor for 10 minutes in the NBA, maximize his energy, 15 minutes a night, maximize his energy as a backup center, have that type of size, I think he can make it. But the defense might be too much of an issue. He might not be good enough defensively to stick.
Well, make it is one thing, and be effective is another.
He's going to get drafted. He's a first-round draft pick. He's going to get drafted. What he does beyond that is up to him. I like that he plays hard.
But you're not going to invest in someone you can't play at the end of the game. I wouldn't invest a first-round draft pick in somebody that I didn't think have the ability to play at the end of the game. People creamed Dennis for drafting Doak at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'll be curious. I'll be curious what happens. I'll be curious what's
like, why would you spend a first-round pick on somebody who you thought their potential was backup center? Come find a backup center anywhere.
Yeah. Teams fall in love with size. And teams that are close to a title may say, hey, we just need something extra like that that we know is going to land. And that's the other thing. Don't draft a bust. Now, Zach Edey might end up being, quote-unquote, the biggest bust because of his size, and he's going to be memorable, and that might scare some teams off. If you draft him and he doesn't make it because of all these things we're talking about, then you're the team who drafted Zach Edey. The difference is there's just, like, we don't see 7'4" guys produce like this ever.
I hope teams don't think like that. Oh, man, we don't want to be the team that drafted Zach Edey. Like, why would you think like that? I'm not saying you. Again, I keep coming back to the Jazz Dante Exum draft pick, which is ironic because he's playing so well right now. Just hit a huge shot to send it into overtime, Sunday night? But they were arm-twisted into picking him by Draft Express or whatever. Everybody that, like, oh, you can't be – you really going to be the team that passed on Dante Exum when he fell into your lap?
Right.
It's like, we haven't seen this guy. We haven't talked to this guy. He hasn't played in a year. There's a reason that all these other teams all of a sudden are passing on him.
Right. We're just going to take Marcus Smart and be happy.
Or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
But you're like, oh, man, well, he's supposed to be a second pick or whatever. Like, how could you operate like that?
You can't. No, you can't.
I don't get that.
Especially in the lottery.
So I don't understand that. Like, oh, we can't take Zach Edey because we actually think he's going to be really good. But if the chance he's not, we're going to look stupid. I don't know. I don't know, Ben. But I do know that I wouldn't take in the first round somebody I projected to be a backup center. Where you fool yourself with size is you think they're going to be Shaq. Or you think that they're going to be Joel Embiid or whatever. Not we think he's going to be a Plumlee.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, I wouldn't draft him in the lottery. I, you know, probably wouldn't use him with that 28th pick that the Jazz have, but somebody will.
Next.
Number two, the Jazz host the Nuggets tonight.
Second to last home game. Thursday will be their final home game. All the veterans still out. I'll be curious if we get to see Jordan Clarkson again before the end of the season. Doesn't sound like it, but maybe Thursday. Problem is the Jazz really still have a chance to climb up to the seventh seed. So there is no reason to play anybody. This is a, you know what we
you,
are?
Why would he play? I doubt
I think this is his last game in Utah.
Okay. But I doubt he really wants to. Maybe for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan has loved his time in Utah. I don't know if he's loved all of it, and especially what's happened over the last couple of years. It seems like he's been frustrated by it. I'm speaking solely on my guesses. This is not anything I've heard at all. So don't, you know, that's not Jordan's fault. That's just kind of what I've interpreted. I could be totally wrong. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I will say this about Jordan. He's the type of guy, and he's the only guy I've met this, who after the season will come and shake everybody's hand. Like, he will come and shake all the media members' hands and be like, nice talking to you this year. I've appreciated, like, asking questions or whatever. Like, kind of implying that. He's the only player I've ever met who has done that. So I think in that sense, he has some sentimentality. So he may want to play one more game in Utah if he feels like it's his last year.
Well, you knew a guy who touched everybody's microphone.
I did.
Just saying.
It's
kind of like a handshake.
Kind of. A little bit.
Kind of.
Different, but kind of.
But kind of.
Not as sentimental.
Do we know? I hear Denver's a bunch of questionables, right? Are they going to rest all their guys?
I'll guess.
Because Aaron Gordon's questionable. Who else is? Pretty much everybody, right? Jamal Murray is.
Jamal Murray has very rarely played over the last couple of weeks. So I would not expect to see Jamal Murray tonight.
No. All right, next.
Number three, the Scottsdale mayor weighs in on the Coyotes.
Does not want a $1 billion stadium built in Scottsdale. The proposed Phoenix version, bordering Scottsdale, was presented without mention of market demand for a new entertainment venue disguised as a hockey arena or congested highway access or questionable area zoning entitlement. The prospect of a rookie developer attempting to buy Arizona State Trust land with absolutely no infrastructure on the Phoenix side of the 101 Scottsdale Road intersection at the doorstep of Scottsdale is not feasible or welcome. As stands today, the fantasy hockey project must move west away from Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's probably not a good sign.
Look, I mean, we can complain about billionaires getting tax money to help build a team, and I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. Everyone gets to have their own opinion. You should be able to vote on it. You get to feel however you want. The problem is if you don't get support from your local officials, your team moves, and that's what's going to happen. Arizona's going to move. They're going to move to Salt Lake City. It's what's going to happen.
Looking that way.
It stinks that you can twist somebody's arm like that. But the truth is we have set it up a system that you can twist people's arm that way.
Honestly, plenty of markets have lost teams they've wanted to keep. It doesn't look like Phoenix is into hockey.
Yeah, I don't even think they care.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
Well, the Scottsdale mayor actively doesn't want it.
Doesn't want it in their town.
It's like, you know, when RSL was shopping around its stadium because Salt Lake County was dragging its feet or whatever, the Sandy mayor was like, yeah.
Sure.
Sign us up.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
We got to build. Big old spot.
Let's make it happen.
What even used to be there? I did not travel that far south very often.
I should remember. I don't know. Office buildings or something.
Yeah. But anyways, regardless.
Right. I mean, this Coyotes owner is having the same problem where it's like, okay, I got to find a place to build a facility. And everybody in that market is like, I don't know.
Not here.
Not here.
Quick programming note.
Yeah.
So there is a mix-up in time zones. So Dan will be coming on at 11:30.
Okay. Dan Bickley, Arizona sports radio host, coming on at 11:30. So we moved top three stories for nothing.
Yeah. I didn't hear back until
shame
during top three stories.
Shame.
But it's okay. We still got them done.
Shame.
Oh,
can we just
man.
Do top three stories again next?
Like, let's just re-rack the segment and we'll go get a refill on the coffee.
I don't know how to do a show on the fly otherwise.
Yeah. We'll get to whatever coming up next. All of a sudden, we have a free segment.
Can we talk about the crazy final week of the NBA season we've got coming up?
Yes. You mean the one I've been telling you is going to happen for this whole time when you've been like, predict the games now?
Well, actually, it's the opposite of what you said, so I'll explain why it's the exact opposite of what you said and why you were wrong the whole time.
Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE, and you're going to be assigned a golfer in the Uinta Golf Major giveaway from Uinta Golf. If your player wins, you will win your player's brand of driver. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We'll have more straight ahead. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All I am.
Jazz Ticket Tuesday. I got to get it together. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see the Jazz take on the Rockets at Delta Center on April the 11th. Tickets will be sent electronically via SeatGeek. We also want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Ben, I feel like that newscaster who did the story about the person, the bomb threat, because the person burst into the bathroom and said, "I'm about to blow this up." Have you heard this?
Have
you heard this clip?
I have not.
Oh, is Lloyd still in there? Sarah, have Lloyd to help you find this news clip. We've got it somewhere. But anyway, the newscaster reads this ridiculous story, right, and then just can't stop laughing. Just can't
shake it.
Can't put the genie back in the bottle. That's how I felt during that Jazz update. I can't.
Thank goodness for laughter. Thank goodness for laughter. It's a little blessing we get.
Even laughter about really terrible things.
Sure, of course. Of course.
Oh, it's the only way to get through the day. We were talking about positive versus negative energy and feelings and that sort of thing. We all dabble in the negative, but I think it's best to keep it in the positive.
The NBA has...
Wait, are we going to find this thing before we move on and make it not relevant? I know. Ben's the one threatening to move on, Lloyd.
All right. just stop. We'll have some dead air for, what, how long can we have dead air, do you think, before
go
people
ahead,
think
Ben,
something's wrong?
Go ahead, Ben. The moment has passed. Let's not play fun sound. Let's talk about the stupid NBA.
Sarah threw up her Van Lith hands in front of Caitlin Clark. Couldn't find it. It's fine. We're putting people on the spot for audio. The NBA has a final week that is as crazy as I can remember. I don't remember, and maybe I'm just dumb. Maybe it could have happened last year. My brain doesn't work that well anymore. But these last four games, Jazz excluded, apologies, but if you're just an NBA fan, are awesome. The Eastern Conference and Western Conference playoff races, there's not a single set matchup yet. Now, there shouldn't be with four games left, but sometimes we're kind of in that spot where we know what every seed is going to be. We know the Celtics are going to be the number one seed in the East. We know the Clippers are going to be the four seed in the West, probably. They have a two-game advantage over the Dallas Mavericks with four games left to play. So technically, that's still up in the air, and Dallas is 9-1 in their last 10. Now, the Clippers are starting to play better as well, and they play the Jazz, so the odds that they're going to lose their three other games and Dallas will overtake them is slim. But Minnesota and the Denver Nuggets are tied for the top seed in the West. Oklahoma City is just a game back of both of them and could still be in play for the one. Outside of the Clippers, who I mentioned is locked in as the four seed in the West, Dallas Mavericks are five. They're two games ahead of the Suns. It's looking most likely like we will see a Clippers-Mavericks first-round matchup, which signed me up. But the Suns and the Pelicans are tied in the sixth and seventh seed, which is the difference between guaranteed playoff spot and probably facing maybe the Thunder or maybe the Nuggets or maybe the Timberwolves, and the play-in tournament, where there's a good chance you're going to have to play the Lakers, who can beat you in a play-in tournament game, and Sacramento's fighting like hell to stay out of the ninth seed, getting overtaken by the Lakers, so they can avoid playing the Golden State Warriors, who are probably going to be the last team to make the play-in tournament. They are guaranteed to be in the top 10 because Houston can no longer get there. But none of those seeds are locked up. And then in the East, because Milwaukee has absolutely fallen apart for some reason, they've lost four straight, including three games in a row where they were double-digit favorites. Milwaukee's a game up on Orlando. Orlando has an identical record to the four seed. Orlando's in the third. Orlando's got an identical record to the four seed New York Knicks. Those teams are both a half game ahead of Donovan Mitchell and the fifth-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers. Those teams are just a game ahead of the sixth-seeded Indiana Pacers, and all three of those teams are just two or two-and-a-half games ahead of the seventh-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, who, by the way, just got Joel Embiid back. Like, it is insane what's going on. We're going to see the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks play the 9-10 matchup in the Eastern Conference. But beyond that, there's still an opportunity for Miami, who's 19 games back, to find themselves in the sixth seed. Look, we've got these final four games. We're not going to be able to follow them. We're not going to be able to catch up because there's so much movement that's going to happen in the next four games, and that's exactly what the NBA wanted, as opposed to all these teams actually in the playoff rankings, tanking games, and to the point where you're not even going to be able to really rig the system to find a good first-round matchup in favor of yourself. I don't think it's going to be possible this year, which is what Adam Silver has wanted, and as much as we criticize what the NBA does wrong, they've gotten this one right. Somehow this year.
Well, they're so bunched together, as you just played out. Of course there's going to be jockeying for matchups. I don't agree with that take at all.
I don't know. How are you going to do it? If you lose a game and the team that you're trying to lose to match up with wins, they might jump two seeds and you end up with a totally different team.
The sweet spot in the East, I'd want to be, and again, we're talking about the bottom part of the playoff bracket, right? The sweet spot in the East, I'd want to be in six or seven.
Problem is seven, you're in a play-in tournament.
So
you're playing Miami?
Yeah, whatever.
You might not make the playoffs.
Right, I know, I gotcha. But do I want to play Milwaukee in the first round or not? The answer is yes. Do I want to play Orlando in the first round or not? The answer is yes.
And you avoid the 1-4 in the second round, which means you avoid Boston in the second round.
In the West, if I'm the Mavericks, I lose games to get to the sixth slot. Because I'd much rather play Oklahoma City in the first round than the Clippers.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
OKC is beat up, and they're only 5-5.
I'd way rather be in the eighth spot than the seven. And granted, with the play-in, that's a little bit more difficult to manipulate, but, I mean, those things are all still true.
The reason the eighth spot's impossible is because you have to probably beat Golden State in the second play-in game. is really dangerous. Just I don't want to play Steph Curry in one game.
But these things you would grant me you want these matchups.
Why would you want the 8 seed?
You'd want to play Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota and Denver are tied. That's the problem. Right. They have the exact same record. Like, sure. We don't know what these are going to be until literally 3 o'clock on Sunday. We don't know who any of these matchups are going to be. It's going to be darn near impossible to rig the system to draw up a matchup you want.
And I'm old enough to remember the last game of the year. What would have been? When was the Grayson Allen game, Ben?
2019,
where half the league had to lose on purpose for the Jazz to get the Rockets. And it went to a double overtime game where Grayson Allen had the game of his life, where both teams were trying to lose. And the whole league wanted to play the Jazz in the playoffs. I mean, that easily could happen on the last day of the season. Easily. I mean, right down to the top teams in the league. What if Denver Denver wants to drop a spot, or Minnesota wants to drop a spot? Maybe they don't want to finish number one. Maybe they don't want to face the Lakers or whatever in the first round, or have anything to do with the Lakers or the Warriors. Maybe you think the Warriors are the favorites to come out of it, since New Orleans and Sacramento were so terrible all of a sudden. Maybe I don't want to play. I'd much rather play a damaged Phoenix team than either the Lakers or the Warriors.
Okay.
I mean, you can make all these arguments,
right,
which teams are going to do in this last week. And by the way, Golden State, I mean, if you want to talk just about the Jazz, Golden State is every intent on giving up on the season from here on out, because they're in the 10th spot, and that's it.
Steve Kerr
even admitted that. They're in the 10th spot, that's it. So the Jazz last game against Golden State, they're going to play their G League team.
They are. That is a team that, you're right, is locked in. Of the few teams, I mentioned maybe the Clippers at 4, probably Dallas at 5, and Golden State at 10, are 3, and then you can throw, like we mentioned, the two teams in the Eastern Conference, the 9-10, and then Boston at 1. Those are the teams that are probably locked in where they are. So yeah, Golden State might just focus purely on health the rest of the way.
They should. They'd be foolish not to. And by the way, when the Jazz played Golden State, Steve Kerr said that, basically.
Yeah.
So they're not going to play anybody that last game of the season. I bet we see teams trying to lose all over the place. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
I will be pretty shocked if that happens. But it probably depends on what happens in the next 3 games, obviously. Everyone has at least 3 games left on their schedule.
But it always happens.
Sure, but we're not going to get this last week of the season where teams are losing the entire last week of the season that are in the playoffs, which is, I think, what we had dreaded of what's the schedule going to be? Well, these last 3 or 4 games aren't going to matter because teams are tanking. That's just not going to happen at all. We might see that Sunday, maybe. I still not am positive we're going to see it Sunday. We will see it with a couple of teams like Golden State, who you mentioned. I honestly don't know how many playoff series are going to be set before Sunday when the final buzzer goes off. And again, the nice thing that the league has started doing recently is stacking all these games on top of each other so everybody plays at the same time to avoid specifically the Grayson Allen 40-point game. So nobody can look around and be like, oh, well, let's throw this game. So I'm excited. I'm really going to enjoy this last week of the NBA season. I know Jazz fans aren't enjoying watching the Jazz right now, but if you're an NBA fan, like, the playoffs are starting because all these teams are trying to jockey. And the nice thing is everyone's trying to climb for the most part. There's not a lot of teams trying to fall down the rankings, if any.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia, on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, the 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Also want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the station. This week, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater August 3rd. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. I'm not familiar with much of Sam's catalog, Ben.
No.
What's his act?
I'm not sure I have it either.
Sarah? Oh, she's busy getting Bob. We're going to talk to Bob Caster.
He's like a pop country singer.
Pop country? Okay. Well, that's popular around here, so I'm sure that's a hot ticket. Listen tomorrow on Win Ticket Wednesday. We're going to talk to Bob about the Masters as golf season gets in full swing.
Can't believe it's here.
I know, it feels like 2024 is flying by already.
Better to have a quick year or a slow year?
Slow. Everything needs to slow
down. I'm with you. You know what? Let me complain about our job. It makes life pass so quickly. Because our jobs are really enjoyable and fun, and I like coming here every day. So time never goes slowly, right? You're having fun. Time flies when you're having a good time, and we usually do. So that's the and then you kind of just go like, season, you just kind of always set your schedule by what's ending. Like the jazz season is ending, and then it's golf season, and then it's like, okay, well, what's the announcement going to be this summer? And then it's the draft, and then it's winter. Just kind of always move in that way.
I agree, Kyle, but parenthood has done that way more, put my life in fast forward, did it way more than, this job. Because it's a constant marking of the time.
That's a good point, because look, I started my radio career at the exact same time I had my son, and I always blame the radio career, and maybe I need to blame my son for more of my issues.
Well, blame is a harsh word. I mean, we are talking about perceiving passage of time. It's not like it's some hard and fast thing. Are we going to talk to Bob? All right, we're standing.
Maybe. Do we have the clip? Yeah, let's play the clip. Set this up for us.
It's a news report, and a woman does a story, and then
inspired by an unfortunate incident we saw.
We did, and she can't stop laughing afterwards. Let's go ahead. In theory,
some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you? To Ethan now, please.
No.
Are we going to have to go to a commercial?
No, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. All right, we can do this.
Hilarious.
Throwing your co-host under the bus is pretty funny. Under the bus is pretty funny.
And you know, I don't know why, but local news anchors humiliating themselves is like the funniest thing ever.
I haven't gotten that much. I know you were talking about having to get through the Jazz update earlier because you were laughing and we were having a pretty good laugh during the break at a very stupid thing. But there must be a thing about being on TV that makes it extremely hard to shake that laughter, knowing that people can see you.
Well, it's the pressure of you have to get it together, but you can't. And then it feeds on itself.
One of these things about this is like there are a lot of times I probably can't, nobody can tell, but I'll be like laughing quietly. And you just have no idea that I'm laughing. But you can keep carrying on and there's not that pressure versus obviously if there was a camera on me.
Yeah, right.
You can't really get yourself together.
I'm fixing to blow this bathroom up. Can you imagine that there's people that serious in this world that would be like, I don't know if he was making a bomb threat, but I think that might have been a bomb threat. I better call the authorities.
Yeah, are you better safe than sorry in that situation? I guess I would say actually yes. Better safe than sorry. But I guess nice of the man to provide a very vulgar warning.
I mean, could you imagine the guy, though, who just kind of, you know, finishes, washes his hands and walks out of the bathroom to be met by like a SWAT team? And they're like,
what's going on?
They're like, where's the bomb, sir? And he's like, what are you talking about? Oh, no. He's just trying to give a heads up. Anyway. No Bob, so we don't know.
We'll catch up with more Masters throughout
the week. We could have asked him about the restrooms at the Masters. I'm sure. I bet they're really nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Salt Lake Country Club. I've been there for multiple weddings and very nice bathroom.
I bet.
You ever been to the bathroom at the Alta Club? That might be the best bathroom in town.
No, I'm not a member of the Alta Club.
Not either, but I've been there.
What's my favorite public bathroom? You know, it's a good one, the Market Street Grill. They're in the basement.
They have a good one.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful public bathroom. And it's like, it's not private, but it's just a beautiful bathroom. There's some good local public bathrooms.
Sure.
I feel like George Costanza.
You want to know the best, like, public? I mean, not talking about, like, an establishment with bathroom, but, like, at a park or something like that, public bathrooms. Aspen, Colorado.
Good.
Immaculate.
Huh.
But it's because they're just swimming in revenue because the property taxes there are just...
Yeah. To the roof.
And they have to spend it on something. So they're
flush
like, well,
the toilet.
We're going to make the greatest public restrooms you've ever seen
in your
life.
That's a good public service that everybody would appreciate.
There's not a pothole in the road in Aspen, Colorado. I was pretty shocked.
We can get to Bob.
We can do Bob real quick. Sure, why not? We're going to really surprise him with our first question. I mean, he's going to be really shocked. But, you know, good times. We haven't all been to Augusta. We haven't all been to Augusta National. Bob's been there a bunch of times.
That's a good question. Something nobody else has ever asked.
Ever, I would guess.
Yeah. We're about to make history.
And, you know, Bob is used to being thrown off by my questions, but I think this one will really get him.
Okay.
Bob, first of all, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jake. How are you?
We're doing great. We'll get to the golf here in a moment, but Ben and I were just having
hard-hitting questions first, Bob.
We were having a really interesting conversation about great public bathrooms, and we're just curious. I'm guessing the bathrooms at Augusta National are just incredible, no?
They are incredible.
Yeah.
But
attendant? Is there an attendant?
Been the truth. Yes, there are multiple.
Yeah, multiple attendants. Incredible.
But that hasn't always been the truth. I remember the first time I came here, and Brian can attest to that too. Down to the right, to the left of the 18th fairway, there was a public restroom. And when you went in there to go to the bathroom, the urinal was a trough. And you stood side by side, baby.
Oh, man.
With no split in between you. So you had a little bit of stage fright going on.
I'm glad we moved on from the trough.
I played Kapalua once. Great bathrooms.
Oh. You know, a lot of the really good clubs have really good
ones.
Yeah,
really good. So.
Well, now that we've addressed the most important pressing issues of the 2024 Masters golf tournament.
Yes.
We're going to make sure we don't
use this one as a test. Absolutely.
Get to pairings and tee times later on. I am curious, just like overall, what's the big arching story going into what kind of kicks off the golf season? Like, what are you watching for this summer specifically with the Masters?
Well, you know, the Masters is the first major of the year, as we all know. The big news always coming into the Masters is Rory McIlroy and the career Grand Slam. This is his 10th try to get the career Grand Slam. And we just had an interview with him, and he cut his remarks down to 10 minutes. And so 10 minutes is not very long for all the media that were in there. There were probably 200-300 people in there. You know, he hasn't done a lot of interviews lately, especially at golf tournaments or at major championships. And it was kind of Augusta said, you know, we want to have you in there. And he probably said, well, I don't want to answer all the questions, and so I'm not going to do an interview. And they said, okay, let's do 10 minutes. And the guy that was up there with him basically had a stopwatch and was making sure that they kept it to the correct time and that kind of thing. So I think the big news would be him. The other big story would be Scottie Scheffler coming in after winning the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players' Championship, and also finishing second in Houston. So I think Scottie Scheffler he's definitely the number one guy, the guy that you have to think about as far as winning this golf tournament, because he's playing so much better than everybody else right now. And then also, you know, we just had Tony Finau on last week on the show, and he's a kid that has played really, really good at this event. He's got a bunch of top 10s finishes, and being from Utah, of course, we want to see another Masters champion, so I think Tony Finau would be the other guy.
Did you tell him to skip the par 3? Let's not do that this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can do the par 3, and his family's all going to be in coveralls and everything like that. But just don't run backwards.
No, don't.
You
do
know,
that.
He spun around and he started running backwards, and that's when he had that big ankle thing. But he went out and shot 68. That was his very first Masters.
Yeah, so that was amazing. That was an amazing, amazing story. What? Back to Scheffler real quick here, because I looked up of course, entertainment purposes only, looked up the odds for the Masters, and Scheffler's coming in at 4-1, which is incredible. I mean, what's going on with him? Is he hot with the putter? Is he just doing everything right, or what has come together so well for him?
Well, so day in and day out, Jake, Scheffler is the best ball striker in the game. Hits the most amount of greens, gets the ball up and down when he misses a green. But the thing that really separates him from the rest is if he can putt well. And last year he didn't putt that great. He didn't early on in the year this year, and he found a new putter. And since he's found that new putter, with the way he strikes the ball, all he has to do is putt average to the field. And if he puts average to the field, he will blow everybody away. And that's what has happened in the last 3 weeks. His first 2 weeks with the putter, he won. And then he finished second. He missed a 6-foot putt on the final hole to go into a playoff. So Scottie Scheffler, the putter's coming around, but consummate ball striker, and hits the ball, hits a lot of greens, and gets the ball up and down when he misses. So that's why he is so good.
Well, Bob, thank you for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. We look forward to all yours and Brian's updates throughout the week. Thanks for doing that good work.
Send some photos of the bathrooms there, Bob.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Yeah.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, appreciate it.
Don't take cameras in the bathroom.
That might get you 86 from Augusta. But, you know, I'd actually really like Bob to try. If he could do that for us, I think.
That's not something to do conspicuously.
Maybe wait till the last day.
Do it, but be as obvious as what you're doing, right? Like, don't try and sneak a camera. You got to come in and you got to knock on the door and say, I'm taking photos.
I want to take a photo. Just want to document the condition of the John here. Two attendants. I've been into some restrooms with attendants before, but two?
I don't want one.
It is an awkward interaction, I'll admit.
No, I know what I'm doing. I'm all right.
I mean, it's nice. Thank you.
It's not a great gig.
No.
No, credit for the people who do it.
Get tips.
Not job shaming anybody.
No, you got a tip. You're obligated to tip the attendant. That's a thing. He's not letting you out of there. There, you talk about the implication. It's like, hey.
Stands in front of the door.
Hey, you've got to pull something out of that pocket or you're. Don't. It's money, Ben. God, what's the matter with you? All right. Stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.